What's up, everybody? We're back for our final episode of The Rose of Versailles here on Shoujo, the podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my friend Joe to shoujo anime, the genre of anime typically targeting women and girls. Joe's a dude, so he didn't have the pleasure of watching it a lot until now. And obviously, as the targeted demographic, so I've been watching it for a long time. So I'm the veteran viewer. He's the newcomer. And we are at the end of the best series we've covered to date.
End of show 5.
Yep. It feels like it flew by. Like, I don't think it dragged on. At all.
Yeah. That's because you didn't have to write all the summaries. This has been a long series for me. There's been a lot of active involvement for me.
Oopsie.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well,
yeah. But we're here at the end. We did it. We watched 40 episodes. That's pretty long for the show that we covered.
Yep. Yes. And after this, we'll do, I guess, a bonus episode on the movie, The Rose of Versailles. And then we'll go back to Chiaofuru for season 2.
Is that a bonus?
So I don't know. Is it a dedicated episode? Do we want to dedicate like a weekly episode to just that?
Because we're doing it immediately next, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's linked to what we're doing here, so I feel like we should do it as an episode.
Oh, all right. Scratch that.
I'm going to have to summarize it. Unless you want to summarize it. We'll decide off mic.
The only summarization I've done is Jurassic Park. I don't know. And those, like, dragged on forever because I just... La 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 la.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll watch it and see if we have a lot to talk about. If there's like a lot of good stuff, we'll do it as a whole episode. If there's not that much stuff, we'll drop it as a bonus episode before the episode we normally do comes
out. The Ring, where we just dropped it all.
Unlike The Ring, where it's just like, I have nothing to say about this, actually.
Yeah.
It's still a good movie. It's just like, you know, straightforward.
Yeah. And so little tie over to the show.
Right, and had nothing to do with anything else that we were doing.
Before we jump into the coverage and then our updated rankings of all the series we've covered up to this point, let's hear what's been up in the lives of Joe and Sarah. Joe, you start.
Well, I've still been watching Star Wars Rebels. I should be done in like 2 days because I have like 5 episodes left. And the show is looking really nice at this point. And, you know, it's May 4th just happened. So Star Wars is all that's about. And then I'll probably end up playing KOTOR 2.
Yay.
So
we get to do a second bonus episode.
You're doing that. Yeah. We can talk about KOTOR 2.
Wait.
Yes. So I'll be doing that. Otherwise, I've been like listening to. So because these episodes like mention some like prologue stuff of the French Revolution, I've been like trying to shotgun all of the Revolution's podcast up until the point where Marie Antoinette gets executed, which like in the show happens over the course of like 10 minutes because it's just like giving you like a little like post
retrospective.
Yeah. A little like summary of what happens. And in real life, it's like 4 years. So I had to listen to like 8 hours of podcasts talking about all the stuff that's happening to like try to figure out how things got to that point. It was like a huge, huge ordeal. I bought Star Wars Battlefront 2, the like old PS2 game on GOG, and I've just been playing that while listening to the podcast nonstop. So that has been my time.
We appreciate your dedication to the podcast.
That's right. And I need to know so I can mention it. Like, I can mention 2 little fun facts.
Nice.
I think that's it for the most part. I watched a movie also. I watched Conclave in honor of the conclave that's going to happen in a couple of days. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be happening, which is where they pick a new pope. And that movie which came out last year, was good.
I was going to say. I enjoyed it quite a bit. You were talking about.
Yep.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
How about you, Sarah? Okay.
What have I been up to?
What have you been up to?
Let's see. Yesterday, I went to the Austin Record Convention, which was like, you know, show up the day of, just like a maybe $5 admission. So that was pretty sweet. And then I was on a mission, basically. I wanted to find the Offspring. I wanted an Offspring album. And I wanted the Jurassic Park one. And so I was very doubtful that I would find any of them, because like the first half of the, we were going through all the rows and I was like, dang. So I considered getting like the Supremes, which is so good, or like, yeah,
that would have been a good pick.
The Gorillaz or something. But what I ended up getting was the Offspring Greatest Hits. And then the gem. I was so excited when I found this, but I found the first like season's worth of soundtrack from Bleach, the anime. And that is like an incredible soundtrack. So I'm so stoked for, you know, number one. That song is so good with the lady singing and da-da-da. And then at the very end of the, you know, Rose, I found what I thought was the Jurassic Park vinyl record. And then after the fact, it dawned on me that it is not a vinyl record. And in fact, it is a digital laser disc, which is like a giant DVD looking thing, like bigger than my head, that I have no way to play. So, but it's, you know, the it's got cool artwork and stuff like that, but, and it was only $20, so I won't count it as a loss, just unconsumable, unless I decide to get a Laserdisc player only for this one thing that I can watch already.
Laserdisc players for sale, like, on eBay.
I feel like they were like over 100, the ones I was seeing, so that's too much.
Yeah.
It's like a humongo DVD. Is
they're
so crazy.
Like $100, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool thing. Let's see. What else have I been up to? Still playing Stardew. And I still doing the Baldur's Gate occasional playthrough. I haven't played Monster Hunter Wilds in a while, so I don't know when I'm going to get back to that. I need to, because then Rune Factory 6 basically is coming out, even though it's not called that. But, and then we have the new Fantasy Life game I want to play. Oh, and I want to play that, was it Claire, whatever, Expedition 33.
Oh, Expedition 33.
I'm seeing good things about it. Yeah, so I'd be interested to try it.
It's like a turn-based RPG, and I'm like, bro.
Oh, yeah. But people do say it's like Final Fantasy.
Why do I got to play a turn-based game ever again in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I say.
Yeah, I guess.
Even though I will play many of those before I die.
Yes, yes, you will. I'm trying to think of anything. I don't know. I gave Cricket a bath today. I went to this cool... I went to all the cool things this weekend. I also went to this art bazaar thing that's only open seasonally here. Me and my grandma went, and I got a Mother's Day gift, but there was like a bunch of cool stuff, and it's kind of like the more homey, knick-knacky version of a convention, but just a bunch of vendors, you know, selling their like handmade stuff, and it's really cool. So I'll probably go back since it's open for the month. And let's see. I guess folks liked Raptor Cliffs, our dino course. And I'll be playing that on this week's live stream. Joined again, once again, by Tooth and Claw Podcast. Some of the folks from one of my favorite podcasts ever. So excited for that again.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's kind of all I've got going on. Yeah. So no, I got to start watching some more anime outside of the show we're covering.
I haven't been watching that much either. I mean, I guess I'm like continuing the stuff that I've been watching. So I watched a little bit more Lazarus. Not really falling in love with that
one.
Okay,
what's the deal with that? Right, because it's like the creator or director of Cowboy Bebop or something.
Yeah.
So is it just that it looks cool but doesn't have substance?
It is all like, it's all plot stuff, but like the plot stuff doesn't really matter. Like it's set up to be like all these people are forced to be in a crew to like solve this big mystery. And like every week they go and do something, and sometimes they get closer to solving the mystery, and other times they don't get closer to solve the mystery, because like the basic premise is like there was this miracle drug that was released and everybody took it all the time because it could like make all pain go away or something. But then it turns out that the guy who made the miracle drug like actually like poisoned it so that everybody's gonna die unless they track him down and find a cure to it or something. And so they're trying to track this guy down, but like that's the setup. And so you think it's going to be like, oh, it's like a motley crew, and it's going to be like we're going to learn about all these different characters and what their deal is going to be, and then in the end that's going to culminate and then like learning about each other, and they'll find the guy who made this drug and they'll solve the problem, right? Except we're like four episodes in and like we've learned nothing about any of the main characters. They don't really seem to have a lot going on. It's just like not a character driven show in the way that you would expect. Like it seems like this show would be. And instead, it's mostly just like, here's some fun action set pieces, which are totally fine. But it just doesn't excite me very much because of that.
What's an example of a not character driven show that's good?
Of a not,
because like I'm very much all about the characters when I'm watching something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you deal with like more plot stuff,
mm-hmm.
and not so much like the interpersonal lives of everybody. So, like I feel like most action shonen is not really character driven
that's
much.
True.
It's mostly plot driven, which like can be good and can be bad. Usually is only good if it's like the plot is interesting and like
mm-hmm.
fairly short. If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, there's a lot of like movies and stuff that are more kind of like this.
Because you don't have the time.
Yeah, really, it's kind of hard to have a TV show that doesn't become
mm-hmm.
characters focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I'm not falling in love with it. Watching Sakamoto Days, not super into that either. It's like just, I don't know. I just don't think it's as funny as it should be.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm like watching a lot of stuff that I feel very neutral about.
Well, and now the one good thing you had is ending.
Now it's over. My one silver light has gone.
It is pouring outside.
Hmm.
How exciting. Except for the fact that I have to take my dog outside at some point.
That's not great.
Yeah, I know. I just gave her a bath.
You're like a little raincoat.
Yeah, I should. I have a winter coat for her. And if I move to Ohio, I'll definitely need to get her like little booties and a hat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Good thing my mom doesn't listen to our podcast, or she'd be like, what? I thought you were joking about moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You finally won't have to complain about the heat every time.
I keep thinking about it because every time I see someone, I feel like every time I complain about the heat, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be annoying to just hear me complain about the same thing over and over.
I got to be more character driven. Nice. I can't just be talking about the heat the whole time.
See, and then I'll become like, oh, look at that tree. Isn't that tree great? That's what I'm obsessed with when I was there visiting.
Uh-huh.
The trees.
Yeah,
because I was looking at like apartment pricing and looking at photos and stuff. And like, this is not something we have in Texas, but I guess the like, because we have like air vents are on walls or top of ceilings, but they're like on the floor or they're like at the bottom of the wall.
Yeah, like air can circulate up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
people here have basements.
Yeah. I know, because basically I'm like, I have only lived in like apartments that are kind of older and never in one where it's internal, which is like, I don't know that I want that. I guess if it's cold, it's probably nicer, but I just want to be able to like walk out my door immediately. There'd be like grass to take Cricket out on.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then also it's like, oh, if it's cold there, maybe I don't want a dumpy place in case.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things with the heater or whatever. And then I don't know if it's because here, if I see a place with like one of those window AC units, I'm like, oh, no way. I can't stay there. But I'm like, is it like tolerable enough during the summers there that would suffice? Or if I want a place with this like a air conditioning unit like I do here. But yeah, like it all looks very affordable. Mm-hmm. And way more space, more bang for your buck.
Yeah, than Austin, Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's crazy here. And I'm like probably one of the better
in Texas.
Yes, yes. I'm in an older place. I've lived there before or here before, so it feels more comfortable. But and it's like decent pricing for here, but like it's, you know, it would get me like a 2-bedroom at least in Ohio. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But yeah, well, I'm excited by the prospect, so we'll see.
Just keeping an eye out. I bought a new mattress. I'm buying stuff. I'm still like, this is my most recent tariff scare buy. I'm like, I need to buy a mattress now.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Cause you had like a what looked to be a more just very basic mattress.
Nobody likes my mattress. I'm the only person
The kind with like little patterns, like flower decoration on the mattress, probably. You know, like the old kind where it's like quilt.
Oh, is that what I should have gotten?
I may just be imagining what your mattress
looks like.
That's not
what my mattress is like at all. That sounds like a better mattress than I got. I got like a cheap mattress because I got it in grad school that like unfolded and came out of a box. It's like a big, it's just a foam one. So it's not that good. It's been 8 years.
Never mind then.
It's time. No, I was envisioning the kinds
that are blue with like little flower decorations.
Oh, see, those are probably better.
Crappy.
Than the ones
No, more springy, I think.
Oh, the ones where like the springs are all worn out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'll get that soon. Oof.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's good. You deserve a nice mattress. Yeah. Yep.
See if I can ever sleep in my life ever again.
Mm, well,
you know who's been sleeping for a long time? who's taking a big nap forever.
Oh, God. A lot of people.
The Rose of Versailles. Right, time to talk about the end of this show. The last two episodes. Mm-hmm. The final two episodes. Here we go.
Here we go.
I don't have any other introduction to this. So, all right. The Rose of Versailles, episode 39, is called His Smile is Lost Forever.
Dang, what could that mean?
We open on a recap of the last episode where Andre gets shot. We return on Alon carrying Andre as the remains of Company B try to break through enemy lines and return to Bernard's barricade. Oscar leads the charge through the troops, and they all push their way through everybody, as the narrator tells us that Oscar led without fear, thinking only of saving Andre. This is the most, is this the most sicko mode she goes?
Well, they, like, say that. Oh, Oscar's gotten mad. I don't know that she went that crazy, but I would have liked more.
That's true. I wonder movies. Now everything I'm thinking about is like, what are they going to do in the movies? In the movies, you think she's going to duel like six guys or something? Be like trampling dudes?
I mean, maybe, yeah, with the improvement in animation, maybe they'll take the time to depict more exciting
action moments.
Watch
Oscar kill people.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be blood.
Yeah. Eventually, they push their way back to the barricade. Bernard rushes to them and sees that Andre is hurt. He calls for the crowd to see if there are any doctors that would come forward and try to help Andre. Fortunately, there are no less than 10 doctors in the crowd that volunteer to help. We learn, however, that he was shot in the heart and will die any second. Like, he really should be dead right now. I don't know how he's alive at this moment, but I don't know.
For real?
Andre asks Oscar if the sun is going down, and Oscar says the battle is over for the day. Andre asks Oscar why she's crying, and she says that she had hoped that they'd get married and moved away when this was all over. Andre says, yeah, that's what we always wanted. But why are you crying? Am I going to die? And Oscar says, no, of course not. And Andre says, yeah, of course. because there's so much I still want to do with you. I can't die here. He starts crying, and Oscar reminisces on the old days they spent together. She pauses for a second and realizes that Andre has died with his eyes open.
Oh.
Ugh. Rosalie, Bernard, Alon, and everyone mourns Andre as Oscar just sort of looks dumbstruck. Eventually, she screams out that he's leaving her behind and cries. We cut to later where we're told that Andre's body and the bodies of all of the fallen were placed in a small nearby church. We see Oscar sitting on the steps outside. Elsewhere, Company B is playing cards, commenting that Andre never played with them. Alon asks if Oscar is still by the church, and he goes to see her. At the church steps, Alon gives Oscar his coat, saying that it's going to get cold, and he tells her that despite how corny this is going to sound, Andre was a really lucky guy, because in the end, you both returned each other's feelings. So, I don't know, Oscar, maybe try to cheer up a little bit. He goes to leave, and Oscar tells him that she wants him to lead the men tomorrow because she's not really up for it. But Alon tells her that despair doesn't suit her. Everybody lost a friend today, and Andre, you're not the only one who's been affected by this. And then he walks off. I really like Alon.
I know. I like him, too.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's just a generally likable dude.
Yeah.
Not many of those.
Not many of those.
He's just like an uncomplicated character.
He's just a
hard
guy
to come by here.
With cool sword skills who just and has sideburns. Friends and wants to be on the right side of history. Let me tell you, the French Revolution's full of those guys and almost all of them get guillotined. Suddenly, Oscar goes into a terrible coughing fit and rolls down the stairs. She heads off to a nearby alleyway and sees her white horse. She thinks about the times she rode that horse with Andre and imagines riding with him again by the sea, just the two of them. She mounts her horse and rides off, but then she comes across a small group of three guards on a bridge and tries to blow past them, but one of them turns and shoots the horse down from below her, causing it to collapse. Oscar gets up and sees her now dead horse as the dream of riding with Andre disappears forever. The soldiers recognize Oscar as the defector, and they try to capture her. She pulls out her sword.
Sad.
What? Oh, yeah.
We never even learned the horse's name.
We never learned the horse's name. That's true. Has this been her horse the entire time? Since out through the entire series?
No way. Well, no, there's no way a horse. It could live that long, but it would, I don't imagine, be rideable or to the standard that of use she uses it for.
So how long are horses good
at
for?
Some point. Normally I feel like from maybe like the age of, I'm trying to think, I don't know, horses can, I think, live to be like 30, maybe, but I don't think people are riding them past like 20, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Or well, maybe they get retired to like trail riding.
She only got the horse when she got command. So she was like 16 or something. Right. So 16 to 36 is 20 years. Could be.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Didn't have a name. She didn't care about it after all that time.
Wow. I'm sure the horse had a name. We just never learned it.
Okay. Horsey.
Anyway, Oscar pulls out her sword and begins to fight all three of them. I say she fights them. She kind of just dodges them over and over again. While fighting, she thinks to herself that if only she had realized that she had loved Andre sooner, they would have been able to spend more time together when they had it. She thinks that not realizing one's love is far more sinful than betraying one's love and asks Andre to forgive her.
Do you think if they had realized their feelings sooner, would they actually have been able, like, what do you think would have happened? Because I feel like they would just be having to hide it or someone would find out and, like, there'd be huge consequences.
Yeah, this is kind of one of the things where, like, the reason they get together is because the entire like social structure around them is collapsing, so they're allowed to do it. So it's hard to, and like Andre knew the whole time, and he knew that Oscar knew, but it was just like, well, we're gonna not acknowledge this because we can't make it work. So it's like, I think what she really needed to know here is like to be okay with breaking the kind of social norm and eloping. Like that's what she would need to have learned, but I don't think that she would have been in a position to do that any earlier. Like, I don't know if she could arrive at that conclusion without everything else happening around her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's really blaming herself.
Yeah, she's in like a trance.
Still going through it. She disengages with the soldiers and able to make a clean getaway on foot. Elsewhere in the city, she wonders if everything is going to be okay now. Back at the barricade, a soldier wakes Alon and tells him that Oscar is missing. Alon tells him not to worry, she'll be back, and he says to make sure that everybody else in Company B knows that she'll be back, And as he says this, it starts raining. In a Paris alleyway, Oscar is struggling in a coughing fit when a boy lugging an older man passes by. We see that it's our beloved pirate man who has died and is being carried by his son. Oh, this was brutal. I'm like, they're really leaning into it. I was like already sad about Andre. And then the pirate guy too. I was like, no.
Which is a bigger loss, man. I don't know. The toss-up.
The boy deposits his father in the Seine River and begins playing the hand accordion. He sings a song about how, regardless of what happens, the sun still rises and the river still flows. Back at the barricade, Alon is called in as a representative of Company B for a meeting with Bernard and the other revolutionary leaders at the barricade. Bernard tells Alon that they've decided to take over the Bastille fortress / prison tomorrow. Bernard explains that normally the Bastille's cannons face away from the city so that it can defend it, but now it faces towards the city as a threat to the people. If the king orders it, they could be firing upon all of us, and he thinks that everybody across all of the barricades in Paris is going to arrive at this conclusion and converge on the Bastille, which is true. The narrator gives us some exposition on the Bastille as a symbol of royal tyranny. Eventually, the sun rises on July 14th, marking the storming of the Bastille. Famous event. Mm-hmm. We see a scene of Bernard informing Robespierre of their operation against the Bastille, but Robespierre is, like, extremely hesitant and obviously thinks this is a bad idea. But Bernard makes it clear that, like, I'm not really asking your permission, my guy. I'm just telling you this is going to happen. I'm going to go and do it now. And Robespierre yells after them that he will endorse it. So I'm cool with it.
So he doesn't,
I'm in charge, guys.
Yep, that's right. Totally. I just had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Super random, but I was like, I wonder if there was a Wishbone episode that went into the French Revolution.
I bet there was. I bet that happened. I bet they only covered this part.
I wish I watched it. Yeah.
I bet they didn't cover the later parts. Because that's going to get really hard to cover. Because I didn't even get like all the way through. Like, I didn't even get to the fall of Robespierre. And oh boy. Things are going real bad.
Dang.
We see the armed people of France gather in the streets as the narrator explains to us that unlike all the previous events in the French Revolution that were executed by elected or elevated electors, mostly from the upper classes, the storming of the Bastille was the true first revolutionary action from those at the bottom in a sudden act of mutual solidarity, which is true. That's going to be a running theme throughout the French Revolution. Mm. It turns out when the sans-culottes, the regular people, decide that they want you to do a political thing, if they have enough guys, you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We see raids break out all over Paris as people swarm the streets and start stealing guns and cannons anywhere they can find them. We cut to Oscar awakening in an alleyway as she hears the people start to flood into the streets. Suddenly, Andre walks into the alley and tells Oscar that everyone is heading to the Bastille and that she needs to make her way over there to lead the men into battle. As Andre gets closer, we see that it's actually Alon trying to bring his commander back. She returns his jacket and says that they should go back, but before then, would it be okay if she cried just one more time? Alon says, of course, and Oscar cries into his chest. That's cute.
Oh, yeah.
I like them.
Mm-hmm.
At the Bastille, things are getting real bad. Even though the army garrison has a meager 114 soldiers, they're still in a fortress and can fire guns and cannons down at the crowd, basically unmolested. Nobody can really stop them from doing that. The narrator tells us that tens of thousands of demonstrators were engaged with the fortress, but pretty much haven't made any progress up to this point. We see Bernard rush off to ask why their artillery isn't firing. Like, they got all of these guns. Why aren't you shooting these cannons at this fortress? The men armed with the cannons tell them that the cannons work just fine, but none of them know how to load and shoot a cannon. It's not like this is as easy as a rifle. You can't just pick it up and pull the trigger. Nobody knows how to do this or aim this or anything. Suddenly, Oscar and Company B show up. She tells Bernard that they'll handle the cannons, you worry about everything else, and then she gets her men into position. Oscar gets in front of the cannons and directs their line of fire into one of the turrets of the fortress. Inside the Bastille, the commanding officer, Governor de Launay, is informed that the rioters have started firing cannons at them, and they're, like, pretty on target, and they seem to be doing a pretty good job breaking through the fortress. Delaunay peeks out the window and sees Oscar directing the artillery and orders his men to shoot her down. A line of soldiers direct their fire down at Oscar, and we see her get showered in a hail of bullets. She falls as we cut to credits.
Falls in a weird way where she, like, falls on her butt.
Yeah.
Like in a sitting position.
I mean, that's probably, I guess,
it was also cool. I would think the force would just push you back onto the ground, especially with how many. But I like the scene where they're shooting and she's in front and like, it almost looks like she's going Super Saiyan, but like her hair like flies up and it's just her silhouette. And it looks really cool.
Yeah, this is cool. There's a lot of cool stuff going in that scene. Real Mercury or Mars God of War going on there.
Yeah, for sure.
As she just starts telling her men to start blasting. Yeah. What'd you think of this episode? Andre dies.
Yep. Yes, he does.
I was sad.
Yes, I guess he conveniently didn't die immediately from being shot in the heart because he needed to be able to do a sad farewell. I mean, yeah, it's asking a lot of Oscar to try and like get it together to like the next day, just carry on.
Yep. That's the military for you, I guess.
I guess so. Technically, they defected, so they can't force her to do anything.
That's true. But someone's got to fire these cannons, and it's not going to be the random people on the street.
Yeah. It's also sad that, like, I don't know, Rosalie, I feel like, isn't comforting her. I feel like she should be hanging out with her, like, on this step. Like, I guess it's been years since they lived together, but they used to be so close.
Yeah, we don't get very much Rosalie in any of this.
No! Which is a bummer. No! Rosalie fighting!
Rosalie doesn't shoot anybody on screen.
The biggest disappointment.
It's a bummer.
Yep. Yeah. But good on Bernard for being like,
yep,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's doing
now
it.
Now I wish I hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Really leaning into like the like misery in these next last two episodes in a way that I thought was
not
interesting.
What'd you think? I was like, this isn't. I was hoping for more like
I was hoping for a little more like a hopeful episode. End. I mean, I guess we haven't gotten to the actual ending, but this is like really laying into the despair, which makes sense in terms of like the second to last episode is despair. And then the last episode you think would be some relief from that. It is not really that, but you think that's what's going to happen. And that's what I thought was going to happen.
Yes. The title of the last episode tells you.
But I do like this episode quite a bit. I do like how it's like, you know, this is like the actual result of like getting involved in things like that. It is deadly serious, like military conflicts destroy people's lives and like rob you of your future and all of this stuff. I think that's all good. It like puts into context what we've been seeing throughout the entire show where people's loved ones died, but they're all people we didn't really know. Or like we
now
knew just that episode. Now it's people we know and we actually care about. This is kind of the first. Is this like the first death of someone we really care about?
No, we liked Jean, John.
I mean, when she was a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of had it coming. And she kind of knew she had it coming.
The little, I guess I was going to say, poor little Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte.
But we didn't really know
her. She
kind
of just existed for that one episode. You know what I mean? Like, great episode, but it wasn't like a long-standing character that we loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is.
No, I guess not.
I guess we didn't have any other ones. Yeah. So I guess it's the first time we're seeing this, which is nice.
The horse.
The horse, the unnamed horse. Dang. You ride through Paris on a horse with no name. Oof.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right.
Move to the last one.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Episode 40, the final episode, is called Farewell, My Darling Oscar. We open on Oscar getting hit with a hail of gunfire. She falls, but is somehow not immediately killed. Alon, Bernard, and Rosalie rush to her. They all try to carry her off while the siege on the Bastille continues. They carry Oscar into an alleyway, but she tells them to let her down right there. They lay her down, and Oscar asks why the cannons have stopped. They're supposed to take the Bastille after all. They can't stop firing. Alon tells the men to get back to the cannons, and they all leave, saluting Oscar one final time. They return to their positions and start bombarding the fortress again. Eventually, they create an opening that's large enough for the crowd to rush in. In the alleyway, Bernard tells her that they're on the cusp of victory. Oscar stares up into space and briefly imagines fireflies, and then lastly, Andre. She says goodbye and dies. Rosalie cries out as we get a cutaway to various drawings of Oscar throughout the series. In a pretty good montage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of different little moments.
Yeah, this was good. And they play like the, is it the ending song? They play a song that's nice.
Yeah. I can't remember. I guess it's not the opening because I would remember it if it was the opening.
No, it's not the opening. And the opening is like very upbeat.
No, I feel like the ending is kind of upbeat.
The ending's like the guitar thing. It's like, I don't know any of the words. Anyway, so we get like various like drawings of Oscar throughout. Like, some of them are things that we've seen before. Some of them seem like they're kind of new drawings. I don't know. And then eventually we get to the last one where we get some text across the screen saying that soon after Oscar's death, the Bastille fell. Then we cut away to Alain in the future working on a farm. The narrator tells us that the French Revolution did not end with the storming of the Bastille. That was just the beginning. What began as a liberation movement to form a new social order soon descended into mass bloodshed. Back to Alain, suddenly a carriage pulls up by him and Bernard and Rosalie get out. They're still around. Yay! We learn that it's been 5 years and Alain has made good on his promise to his family to start a farm out in the countryside as he gestures towards his sister and mother's graves nearby.
I'm surprised Bernard and Rosalie don't have like a little kid tagging along with them.
That's true. It was 5 years.
Give us something to be excited about.
Bernard says that Oscar and Andre are buried in side-by-side graves just like that. Alain comments that maybe they died at a good time since they didn't have to see how things all turned out. We cut back to October 1st, 1789. It's the Women's March on Versailles, when the bread riots among the women of Paris spilled out into an armed assault on the Versailles Palace against the royal family. This is a famous event that happened. We see the mob break into the palace and surround the royal family. Queen Marie is forced to appear before the mob and almost gets shot, but she bows to them, which stalls their anger long enough to get them all to leave. Internally, though, she says that she will never accept the revolution. In Sweden, Fersen is updated on the women's march and becomes dismayed for Marie. The royal family has now been transferred to the Tuileries Palace inside of Paris, right in the heart of the people who probably want to kill them, so that's not safe. Fersen walks out into the rain and says, "Oscar, you may be dead, but you live on in my heart. Please give me some courage." I don't think he...
Okay.
Does he know that she defected? Like...
Oh, I guess if she died, then he knows. Yes. I'm like, I knew it. It's never the last time we see Fersen. He always comes back.
It's never the last time.
And talking about live on in my heart.
God.
Oh, God. More with the like, who do you like, my guy?
Well, I think he's just like, you're the most courageous person I know. Give me some of that courage. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
You know. It's a nice sentiment if it wasn't for the thing that was about to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
We learned that Fersen decided to go back to France in a doomed attempt to get the royal family out of Paris. We get a scene of Fersen and Marie reuniting as Fersen declares his loyalty to her. We then get a summary of the flight to Varennes, where the royal family made a failed attempt to flee the country. We get a scene at one of the transfer points where King Louis thanks Fersen for helping them escape, but then asks them to separate from here. Things are going to be dangerous, says King Louis, at this leg of the journey, and he doesn't want Fersen to get caught up in it if they're discovered. Also, this doesn't happen in real life history, Fersen. You can't be here. Fersen agrees and says he'll escape separately. He and Marie exchange one final look before they part forever, and he, like, cries out. More misery. Let's
Bye.
Go. Bye. Bernard finishes the story saying that the royal family was caught shortly after that and were dragged back to Paris to be essentially under house arrest for the remainder of their lives. The narrator tells us that after the failed flight to Varennes, Marie became so stressed that all of her hair turned white.
That's not a thing, right, in history?
I don't know. Maybe?
Not that is notably mentioned.
I
don't know, just to make her seem super vain one last time.
Marie Antoinette hair white. Let me search this real quick. Do. Anatis Subita, also called Marie Antoinette syndrome or Thomas More syndrome, is an alleged condition of hair turning white overnight due to stress or trauma.
Okay. So I guess maybe it did or fabled to have.
I guess so. This is a story.
Her precious blonde/red, according to Madame Dewberry hair. Has turned white.
Yep. I guess that happens. Rip. The flight to Varennes turned the public opinion permanently against the royal family. The narrator then gives us a brief explanation of the next couple of years of the revolution, where France abolished the monarchy and became a republic. We get a scene of Saint-Just as a government representative. He gives a speech of how King Louis is a traitor to the nation and should be executed. Then Robespierre comes up and gives a speech also endorsing executing the king. By a vote of 361 to 360, the king is condemned to execution. The next year, he was guillotined. We then get a scene.
No more locks.
No more locks. getting rid of that guy. Then we get a scene of Prince Louis Charles being dragged away from Marie to be separately held separately from her, because he's just like given to some random family to be raised as like a random kid. She tells the guardsmen that they have taken her husband and now they take her child. Don't they have sons? Have they no mercy? The guard returns that, yeah, they did have sons, but they had no money and no food and were forced to watch their kid die of malnutrition while the royal family was stuffing their faces. So you're not going to be getting any sympathy from us.
You tell her.
Oh, jeez. Back in the present, Rosalie says that Marie was also executed soon after that. And Lana's like, I really don't care what happened to to Marie Antoinette. Anyway, why are you guys here? Why are we having this scene? Isn't this just like to give me a news update, right? Bernard says that he's planning to write a history of the French Revolution and wants to interview Alain about Oscar and Andre. Alain asks why they're talking about the queen then. But then Rosalie continues saying that she volunteered to attend to Marie while she was in prison, which is the tie-in that she has to the real Rosalie, whatever her name was. So here we go.
Okay.
Shockingly, she was able to recognize Rosalie from that one time they met at that one ball. Remember, like, 20 episodes ago or whatever? Marie and Rosalie talked every day about Oscar, because she's like, "Ah, Oscar, I remember the good old days." Because talking about that soothed Marie's heart. On October 16th, 1793, at 12:15 p.m., Marie Antoinette was beheaded. Rosalie finishes by pulling...
We didn't get to... revel in it.
Yeah, it turns out her last words were apologizing for stepping on the executioner's foot, so it's not, if you're trying to be historical about it, it's not like it's not that interesting.
Okay, what about the take bread and cake, whatever line, famous line?
Oh, let them eat cake. Yeah, that was like a way long time ago. Yeah. I don't think that's even a thing that she said.
Oh, okay.
It's just like it's just like a thing people attributed to her saying.
Mirror.
Let's see. Rosalie finishes by pulling out a paper rose that Marie had given her on the morning of her execution. Marie had made it while thinking about Oscar and asked Rosalie to dye it with Oscar's favorite color. The only problem is Rosalie never asked Oscar what her favorite color was. Do you know what her favorite color was, Alain? Alain says he wasn't that close to Oscar. He doesn't know what her favorite color is, but he bets Andre would say that he likes it white, as it already is. This is cute. I like that.
Yeah. That's the whole reason they came.
That's the whole reason
they
came.
To ask the color.
To see what color to dye it. And it turns out that the thing Marie made was the right thing the whole time. It didn't need to be dyed. Mm-hmm. That's just how good of friends they were. We freeze frame on the three of them standing by the seashore. The camera zooms out while the narrator gives us some final pieces of information. She says Robespierre and Saint-Just eventually lost power and were in time also beheaded. And then she says a decade later, Fersen, who had returned to Spain, became a cold-hearted lord hated by his people and was brutally murdered by them in the streets. The end. Why does it end like this?
I don't. It is a very weird ending, right? Like, you could have just left it without any of that. Yeah,
dude. I was like, I talked to my mom on the phone after watching this, because it's like, why would you end your show like this? I mean, I know why we end the show like this, which is like, this is supposed to be a biography of Marie Antoinette, right? Like, we want to fit in all the cool historical stuff. You gotta be everybody. Like, you know, you can't get to the end and be like, oh, people are gonna want to know what happened to Fersen. It turns out he sucks and was killed randomly by a mob.
Yeah.
But like, this is not a great way to end.
No,
the series.
No, it was kind of weird ending. I guess it's always hard to end a series, but this was, you know, like, you could have just, if you had just left out like those last few tidbits of random unnecessary information, that would, you know, helped, but it's just kind of a bummer show ending and hard to tie it with a nice bow, because we, you know, it's based off history, so we can already find out for ourselves what happens afterwards. It just won't have anything to do with the characters we spent all this time watching.
Yeah. So the ending is weird. Not really hopeful at all at the end there. Just kind of
no.
Just like, yep, everything went to shit. Alon retreated to a farm. I mean, I guess Bernard and Rosalie seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
Hopefully they're not fighting in Paris anymore. They don't seem like they are, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just very it's all bad. Bizarre. It's all bad times. Not gonna highlight the positive legacy of the French Revolution or the ideas of like that came out of it.
Totally.
Just all like, yeah, it sucked. It went real bad. The end. Everybody dies.
Yeah, I guess so.
Except for Fersen, who becomes an asshole and then dies.
Helps justify having chosen Andre, I guess, maybe. Like, oh, he is no good after all.
Alon's line where it's like,
obviously,
it'd
be like Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lots of, you know, like, they addressed the fate of some characters and then, like, who knows what happened to, like, Oscar's family, or I don't know, the kids of Marie Antoinette, or you know,
I can tell you about the kids,
the people of France.
Yeah. So, what do you want to know? Or, like, I guess we have any other thoughts about like the show ending, wrapping up here. I do feel like.
I mean, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You go.
I was just gonna say. I mean, Oscar was gonna die anyway, so might as well just die the next day.
Mm-hmm. Good time to do it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do feel like the trying to be historical messes with like the good feeling of the ending. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even do, you know, like in Les Mis when they have
that. I haven't seen it.
Okay. At the end of Les Mis, which also ends in like a bummer way, kind of, because, you know, it's about a failed revolution that happens after the French Revolution, like later. In one of those little uprisings that nobody would remember except for that Les Mis was written about it. At the end, they like, there's a whole number of a bunch of people that died and they like sing on the barricade about how like a better future will eventually come for all of them. And it's like a nice, sweet thing. This doesn't have anything like that. It's just like,
no,
everything sucks. Okay. Bye.
Well, I guess if we think about it, it's always been a show of like just stating what's going to happen, like in a very blunt way with the narrator.
Yeah.
I guess you just would hope that for the end of the show, like, it would just be better to leave it on a, like, in the, you know, from here, France changed in the world, blah, 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 something just more, you know, the characters we liked are gone, so we don't need to, like, then just reflect on the characters we didn't care about as much. I would just rather just end in nicer, like, broad, you know, like, oh, this all happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason was that France was better for it or something.
I mean,
like
I get the idea of like you don't want to end on like and everything was good because that's like very disingenuous to the past. And like it didn't end good. I mean, the thing is like, yeah, it ended real bad. Like all that stuff that they said is true. Everything got worse. And then they did the Bourbon Restoration and kind of reset thing. But like, you know, there are concepts as to why it is important and like. And highlighting, I think, you know, like the main theme of like, it's really the social structure that is suffocating everybody is the reason why, like, you know, we mentioned in the last episode that Oscar kind of couldn't come to the realization that she should be with Andre because of the social structure, which is like the main thing that gets, I don't know, undermined by the entire French Revolution, right? Like even kind of going forward. Like the erosion of like noble privilege and monarchies and all that stuff can kind of be traced back to ideas that were first thrown together or like really explored during the French Revolution. So like they did accomplish the thing that I felt like they were primarily fighting for. Right.
Yeah.
It's just not what we focus on at the end. Which was mostly just about historical
stuff. Yep, they just should have had it where Rosalie and Bernard did have a daughter and or son, and just that, like, you know, in memory of Oscar, named the kid after her, and then like we're teaching it swordplay or something as like a little, and then they become vigilante family, and it's the Dark Knight family, and they just go on to be, I don't know, like the Bat family.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Nope. We didn't get that.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
So is this our worst finale?
No, I don't think it's the worst finale.
No? What's the worst one?
Of all the shows we watched?
Yeah.
I guess of any show.
I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I mean, again, a lot of those shows didn't really end there, so it's kind of hard to know.
This is kind of the first one,
except for Angelic Layer, that got to the end of the actual story. Yeah. Like, there is, it's not continued in a manga or anything.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, let's do a, do you want to do a segment? Do you have any questions about what actually happened at the end of the French Revolution or what happened to any of these people that I might, hopefully I know?
Well, like, so what ends up happening in Austria? Because it was her brother, but they're saying she was the last of the whatever line of rulers.
No.
Nope. No?
No. Like, her brother rules.
Okay. And then what? Both her kids live? They don't just get, like...
The daughter does.
Okay.
I think, yeah, she is the only one that lives. Because Joseph dies of tuberculosis.
The other one, Charles, was adopted
by this family, but then kind of neglected, and then got tuberculosis and died at 10.
Dang.
And then she had another daughter, but... died of tuberculosis or convulsions or something. Also died less than a year old.
Her TB is wiping everyone out.
Yeah. I guess some stuff to mention. So the storming of the Bastille, like, not a lot of people actually died during the storming of the Bastille.
Not being blown up by cannons.
I don't think they were firing cannons at the crowd. They might have been, but like, they, I mean, they were shooting, but I don't think they were, they might have been firing some cannons, but not in the way that we're seeing where they're just like blowing people to bits. It looked like 93 people died from the people, like the civilian insurgents, and then one died from the soldiers. I don't think they really, they did fire some cannons, but they did not, they broke in by like cutting down the gate essentially, and they kind of rushed in. The thing about the Bastille is that it had a reputation of being like the seat of tyranny for like royal whatever prisons. This is where they put people in prison. But like, it's not really how it was being used. It was kind of like a prison that you send like your shitty rich son to who's like being an asshole. Or like, if you got in trouble, it's kind of like
time
whatever.
Out prison.
Yeah. And like, the real reason that they wanted to take the Bastille was because they had transferred a lot of the gunpowder to it. So that's kind of the main thing with that. And then they ended up killing all the soldiers inside it, basically, later on.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Have any other questions about, do you want to know you want me to give you like a really brief of like what happened next leading up to Marie dying?
Sure, let's hear it.
So like,
yep.
You know how I said that like Robespierre was not really the guy for a while?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So like, the real trajectory of it seems to be like, at the beginning, you know, there's the storming of the Bastille, which is kind of like the big thing. That kind of forces King Louis to, you know, capitulate to the National Assembly. The National Assembly is kind of run by these like liberal moderates who are like, you know, trying to cobble together a constitutional monarchy, that kind of thing. The people in the streets started hearing that that's what they were going for. And they're like, I'm sorry, did we just like fight and die so you could like slightly limit the king's power? Is that what we did all that for? They stage another revolution, overthrowing those guys to install a bunch of more radical, like, Republicans who want to establish a republic. And that's where the king starts getting into some hot water in terms of, like, his position, because he's kind of, like, doesn't really have any power at that point. It becomes clear that the mob can kind of start dictating policy if they send enough people to, like, the governing bodies wherever they're meeting. So that starts to kind of happen. So it kind of becomes a game of like, whoever can rally the mob to show up to like riot against the city government and like threaten to kill those guys kind of gets to win the day. That ends up leading to a big, like, how do I say this? Everybody decides that they really want to go to war with Austria because they hate the Austrians. And they're like, well, surely we will, you know, we can liberate all the people that are under the Austrian thumb, because Austria is kind of like this big conglomerate of a bunch of different like kingdoms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Austrians have like kind of, you know, they're like, ah, shoot, like if anything happens to King Louis and Queen Marie, that's not great. So they kind of sent this incredibly milquetoast, like threatening letter that's like, if anything happens to those guys, we'll rally all of Europe and come attack you. But like, they never were really going to do that. But because there's so much fervor around it, France declares war on Austria, and then Prussia gets in on it because Prussia just wants to fight anybody because they have this big army sitting around and they want to get some stuff and they can't do anything else. So they go to war. It immediately goes very bad for the French because it turns out when your officer corps is made up of mostly nobles and at this point all the nobility are like running away from like leaving France, your whole army collapses. They immediately start losing pretty bad. This causes the government to become pretty authoritarian. Then they start winning because they like win a battle where they like force the Prussians back. And then the Prussian leader is like, we got to go deal with some stuff in Poland. So I actually don't care about this very much. So they leave. And then the French starts doing pretty well and they take over Belgium because Austria just didn't try to defend Belgium basically at all. Yeah. And then, let's see, everybody gets back on it.
I need to know until today, all the history.
I'm sorry, this is really boring. They go to war, they start winning, then they start losing as everybody starts to get back on track. And then this is the point where they execute King Louis. So everybody's like, oh shit, now we got to get in on it. So then the British get in on it, and like Spain gets in on it. And then France is on, like, and then also... Because, you know, the Republican government is very liberal and are like abolishing the freaking church, basically, or like de-Christianization. And also they've established the draft. Different parts of France go into revolt. So all of a sudden, Robespierre, who's like in like his guys, take a look around where they are being attacked by all of Europe from every direction, and every direction they're not being attacked, there's an actual rebellion against them. And then at home, there's an angry mob in Paris that can kill you if you do the wrong thing. And they decide that they need to start getting very authoritarian very quickly, or they're all gonna die. So then we start the Reign of Terror. And we start the Reign of Terror with killing Marie Antoinette. And that's how that happens.
Gotcha. Okay. Well... Okay, so it sounds like just kind of sucks to be there for a long while.
Going to war is a bad idea. It's pretty much always a bad idea, and it never works out. Everyone was like, this will be a quick and easy war, and then it ended up lasting like 20 years.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. And that's why everybody dies all the time, and that's why the Reign of Terror happens.
Okay.
And then eventually Robespierre kills so many people that everybody decides to overthrow him, and then they kill him and Saint-Just.
But. What happened to our creepy priest man from, what was his name? The guy who was in love with Marie Antoinette. And
I'm sure he either fled or got killed, I'm assuming. People who get guillotined. The Duke of Orleans. Who else?
Oh, yeah. We never see him again. That's crazy. Yep. As an individual, we never see
There's
him.
There's like a supplementary episode on him in the podcast. And apparently he was just like not really, you know, Marie Antoinette thought he was always trying to overthrow him because he was always like, because he's basically just like a liberal noble. But then as things started getting super like revolutionary, he was like, oh, this isn't good. And then he got arrested and got killed. Like really not trying to overthrow anybody, really played his hand. Not that great.
So I wonder how like much like when this was made, like obviously a lot changed because Marie Antoinette was originally the protagonist and this and that. So I wonder like maybe at the beginning that he was going to be the like it's the trajectory of the shows as far as like who are the villains. Like, because Duke Orleans is our first villain, and then, like, basically nothing happens with him. So it's, like, it feels weird to have...
Yeah. I mean...
So much emphasis in the beginning, and then it just drops
this
off.
This does echo, like, what actually does... Like, this is the thing we're about being, like, trying to be historical. Because that is, like, the time where he's prodding the royal family would be, like, the main antagonist of the royal family. And, like, you know, having all those people in his salon and all that stuff, like, that did happen. Like, he was publishing everything, you know, he was, like, really encouraging initial revolutionary stuff. But then he basically falls off the map right after that.
So I guess there's just, like, it's a, like, peculiar situation, like, base of series like this off historical things. Because then you are, like, depending how true you want to stay to how things went, it can, like, prevent you from fully developing certain things for the sake of accuracy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, overall, go ahead.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I know, like, you want to include all this stuff, right? Because it is like a really interesting story, but it's so big and it's so complicated that it just gets really hard to like fit this into like a narrative structure. You know what I mean? Do you have any questions about anybody else? Polignac goes into exile.
You said so. Madame Dewberry, right? She gets brought back and killed. Yeah,
Madame Dewberry comes back from exile and then gets guillotined later.
Well, the women were the best villains in the show, that's for sure. And yeah, I guess, I mean, that's the Rose of Versailles. Final thoughts are, like, obviously, I would say the, like, most interesting to cover for the podcast and was very good.
I mean, I remain impressed by, like while remaining, like, historical, I think, does kind of have drawbacks in terms of the narrative. I am impressed about how it was able to stick with that for as much as it could. You know what I mean? Like, it's a difficult line to walk, and I think it does overall a pretty good job. But it is very impressive just, like, overall. And I think, like, the show overall was, like, very, you know, high-quality production. I was really impressed by, like, the different camera shots that were in there all the time. They did, like, multiple cutaways, or they had, like, multiple people's, like, close-ups on screen, or they did, like, a split screen or any of that stuff. Or even when they did stuff just, like, putting filters over things or... you know, cutting away to birds flying or any of that stuff, or just like there's a scene and then it becomes a painting of that scene. Like, I think all that stuff was like very impressive and like the most cinematic, I think, of everything we've seen so far.
Yeah. And this is an interesting one where I basically half the show is directed by one person, the second half is directed by another. And like, you can very distinctly feel, and is it just because the directors or just because the plot starts to take a darker turn? But like the first half is much more like goofy shenanigans, and then it gets like really serious and more stoic.
Yeah. I'll be interested to read the manga because it looks like there's some goofy little girl in it. And I think that did not fit the tone of the second half.
You
of
gotta
the show.
Tell us.
So I'll
maybe half the last volume is just like weird extras.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see like how the manga goes.
Got another one. Yeah. You have to keep us posted. How many is it? How many?
It's
books?
Three or five volumes, but the last one's pretty short.
Okay, you just need to binge read all of them, and then we combine that with our movie episode.
Oh God!
Wrap up all of Rose of Versailles.
Nah, we'll do some manga coverage, I think, later on.
Dedicated. Okay. All right. Well. Yeah. Okay. Rose of Versailles. We did it. We finished the series.
Good stuff.
Now, yeah, let's talk about
like the show.
How it sizes up compared to all our other series we've covered up to this point.
We're doing our rankings. All right.
Yeah.
What is first up? Overall show ranking?
Favorite. Yeah, overall show ranking.
All right, we have five shows. Do you want to start from the bottom?
To worst. Okay, fine. That's actually, okay. I'm just trying thinking in that order. You go first.
At the bottom, was for me, is Chihayafuru season one.
I guess... Okay, I guess we should go back and forth. Never mind. I saved myself 2 seconds before.
That's right. I am not into sports anime. We haven't really developed anything yet. Well, we're going to go into season two soon. So hopefully I like it more.
Oh, dear. Because the last time we did this, I think I ranked Angelic Layer the lowest.
I think so.
Oh, God.
Not going to stick with that?
I don't know. I guess I will. Angelic Layer. Okay. Is my fifth favorite.
Fourth. I think I'm just basically keeping the same. Because my fourth would be whatever that was last time, which I think was Kimi ni Tadokei, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. I'm going to do... This might be changing it. I'm going to do Skip Beat next. Because I like the manga so much more than the anime. And like obviously the anime like captures some of the charm, but... the animation wasn't that good, and you know, it wasn't good enough to warrant more than one season.
Okay.
So that'll be my fourth pick.
My third pick is Skip Beat.
Okay. No, nothing.
Oh, just I mean, I feel like I've already talked about
middle
it. Like,
of the
it's
pack.
Good. I like it a lot. I wish it can continue. You know, again, I ranked everything basically based on if the story is complete or not.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Kyoko is a very strong character.
Yep. Yes. Well, she's definitely, she'll be up there. Some of the skip beat stuff will be up there in our other categories. Okay, so number three for me will be, let's do Chihaya Furu.
At three?
Since. Yeah, because okay. I think I had it at my top before,
top.
But I think, like, I don't, season two will probably like affect that once we cover it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess after like covering a show with so much substance, and then that one is a lot more like not anything crazy deep happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fun show, but maybe it doesn't like, or at least not in the first season alone, to do enough. And yeah, so.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Number two is going to be Angelic Lair.
Yep. I
knew like
that.
A complete story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My number two will be Kimi ni Todoke. Mm. It's just like a great example of shoujo. Just like a very good quality one. A very, you know, like standard setting of school life and romance.
Yeah.
And
kind of sets the curve.
Handles it in a much more like meaningful way. And the characters are very likable. So that's number two. Mm.
And then both of us.
Number one. For both
that's
of
right.
us.
Yeah, Rose of Versailles is so good. Ah, man.
It was so good.
Oh, this is going to wreck the rest of the shows. It's none of these are going to be as good as this. Are they? They're not going to be. One day, we'll find something. We will watch something that I think
yes.
will beat it. I think eventually we'll get there.
Yes. Well, I think it's incredibly different. I feel like this is just one that I felt like maybe the most excited to talk about with you, because I knew it would definitely resonate with you, and it was something neither of us had covered, so that probably lended to the, you know, excitement to talk about it, because I've never seen or talked about it with anyone
yeah.
before. And yeah, I mean, there's, like, I would say just the story, side, like the, how it No, I'm trying
vast. The vastness.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, like,
whatever.
A lot.
It's like a bit. Yeah, like lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of different things we got to talk about versus like, you know, typical shoujo of rehashing an issue that doesn't even have to be an issue kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And not just talking about like action sequences, but
having
you know,
it be about adults might things. Be might help because I'm also an adult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
for sure.
So good.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
At first, I was like, Oscar, I hate your name. And like, I guess I just had a lot. I was just dumping on a lot. Like, I liked it, but I was like, I freaking hate Marie Antoinette. This
yeah.
and that, blah, blah, blah. But
oh, man.
Once the stakes get higher. Yeah. Really in it.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get that. Once the like Charlotte episode happens, it's like on.
That's yes.
There.
That was a real. I really love that episode. Mm-hmm. And it's a real like. Tone turning point.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's our current
it's a show lineup. Okay. For the
yep,
protagonist
so.
One, that's the next one. I think
yes,
we should include
yep.
both Oscar and Marie as protagonists. Because there are entirely Marie.
That's gonna jack
especially
up my-
early on, there's entirely Marie arcs, basically.
Okay.
I think
all
that's
right.
fun.
Okay.
So there will be six.
Okay. I think I have. Oh, so they're each
I'm saying
individual
they're both,
entry.
We're gonna rank
okay,
them
I thought
separately.
You meant I had to lump them
no,
together.
No, no,
okay.
No, I wouldn't make
I was
you
like, great,
average
Oscar
them.
Getting dragged
no,
in
no,
the
no,
mud
I
because
I just think it'd be fine if to include both of them.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, last place.
Okay.
Do you want to start with number six?
Yeah, go ahead,
Chihaya. Joe. I don't like Chihaya.
Marie Antoinette is
yeah,
mine.
No surprise. You were such a Marie Antoinette hater this whole time.
Hate her.
She's just like a little brat, you know?
Ah, yes. I got it. Just... Teenagers, I think. Bratty teenagers, really. Even as a teenager, I was like, ugh. So, yeah, she just epitomized, like, brattiness and, like, you know, not being considerate. And it was just annoying how everything was, like, everyone was letting her off the hook for stuff. Like, oh, my God. And the person thing. And ugh.
Yep.
Spending everything. All the money.
She's
oh,
such
my
a nightmare
God.
Woman.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay.
All right, number five. I'm doing the neutral pick of what's her face? Misaki in Angelic Lair. The nothing character. She's like the neutral.
Yep. That's mine as well.
Number four. This is where I'll put Marie Antoinette. Okay. I do kind of like how she's a disaster woman.
Let's hear the good things about
her. It's pretty funny when she's like, why is everybody so mean to me? It's pretty good. Kind of has it coming. I mean, you know, in her trial where she gets accused of like why she gets her head cut off, they are like, hey, when you did the flight to Verona and tried to flee the country, it sounded like you were going to try to link up with the Austrian army to come and invade us. And she was absolutely going to do that. So like, you know, a little bit had it coming.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay. This is four. Chihaya. Chihaya's mine. Similarly a brat, but like on such a lower scale than the queen of a country. So it wasn't as, you know, whatever. Yeah. She's
not quite let them eat cake, you know.
Misaki's nothing. Yeah.
Misaki's like
neutral. Chihaya's a little better than that. And Marie is just like negative 500. I just like the whole time that she was like a huge character every episode, I was just like rolling my eyes and like, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number three will be, I can't remember anybody's name. Sawako.
From Kimi ni Todoke? Yeah. So, okay. That's your number three. I'm going to put Oscar.
Oscar at number three.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, she did a lot of cool stuff. Maybe it's because she, like, let so much slide with Marie Antoinette. But, like, I feel like in some ways she was so dead set. And then other things she, you know, the things I wish she would have been more, like, stubborn about, she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't until The Wire that because we thought she was going down with the ship, you know, because it took her so long to.
That's true. Yeah. For a while there, we're like, is she going to defend Marie to the death? That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Well, thank God that didn't happen.
But yeah, very cool lady, beautiful hair.
Mm-hmm.
Plays
piano.
I don't like the way she treated Granny.
Oh.
Just so dismissive of Granny's. God. Yeah.
My number two is Oscar. I like Oscar a lot. Mm-hmm. I wish we got more like time with her, like interiority wise and like doing more special, especially early on. It's like, I wonder what Oscar feels about this stuff. And it's kind of neutral. That being said, the character arc going from doing what I'm told to fighting for a future I want. Great. Fantastic. We love that. I love a character that cares about other people.
For sure.
I love a character that will try to be honorable and go for it. Oscar's great.
Yep. My number two is Sawako. Just, you know, funny, sweet. You know, it can be frustrating when she's so dense about certain things, but it's, you know, never in a malicious way. Yeah. She can't help it. She's the main character in a shoujo. They got to make her misunderstand things constantly. And yeah, she just has like really nice relationships with people.
And then combine number one again.
And has cute outfits. I know. Kyoko. I don't know if she'll ever be
tall. Still good. It can happen.
She's so good. Yeah. No, I love Kyoko so much. We love a vengeful lady. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, next one, couple. Oh, this will be fun. So the couples we have, I think we should have, are Oscar and Andre, First and Marie, and we could put Rosalie and Bernard in there. Why not? We don't really see them, but we can be in there. The thing is, I don't remember the other. Yeah. Should we just list our top? I think we should do this top down because I don't remember the other ones.
Okay, mixing it up. Well, do we want to settle on our favorite of Rose of Versailles? And then...
Well, I think it's going to be easy what our favorite from Rose of Versailles. Well, maybe not. I know what our last place is going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's Marie and Person. Last place.
Should we wait? What about Marie and Louis? Would that be lower?
what about Marie and Oscar and Jen? The lesbo.
Oh, man, imagine.
From the trial. Or her and her doofus guy that they blow up together.
Okay, what do we think the best? I'm trying to go top down because I'm trying to remember from the other shows. I mean, the other shows are Angelic Lair, who cares? They don't matter.
Sai and Kaede.
Sai and Kaede. That's not a real couple. That's like imagine couple. We need to have a different list for the imagine couples.
Misaki and her soon-to-be uncle.
God. Oh, that was Ojiro. So weird, man. Why is it like that?
No, I guess the only couple we kind of get. Well, no, we get Ichan and her mom, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. The Sonatas or whatever that I made that joke about.
Oh, yeah. They're the best. They're the best. They're the best out of that.
Angelic Layer is the lowest one of couples, though.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Skippy. We have Kyoko and Ren.
Just had Kyoko and Ren, and that was it. And they didn't even get together. That's also low. That gets
Kimi Todoke is stacked.
Kimi Todoke. Yeah. It's really just Kimi Todoke and what's the other show we watched?
Rose of Versailles.
We watched five from Chihaya Furu. Oh god, that one's so cursed right now at the end of season one.
Oh god. Yeah. I mean there's like Chihaya and Taichi or Chihaya and Arata. I don't like either of those. So it's not even like a solid.
Those are both bad. Everybody's underwater for me except for the Kimi and Todoke couples. So yeah. I'm just going to rank against those.
Well, yeah. I okay.
Last place.
Okay. So basically.
Is First and Marie. Good Lord, these two. just a nightmare couple of people.
Yes. Just shirk your responsibilities as queen for this guy who just is. Here in the knot, and then here in the knot, and then basically gets you beheaded for trying to be cool and saving you at the end, and then you get in trouble. And stuff.
Yeah. Then I'll just go through all. Mine. Do you want me to just do that? Do you need more time to think?
Sure.
And then I'll do Ayane and Kent for I don't like them.
Ugh, it's Kent.
And then I'll do. Kent I'm feeling anything. Like I'm gonna treat Bernard and Rosalie as like the neutral couple again because it's just like they're a couple that get along.
Yeah,
fine.
You don't get anything.
They're the zero.
With them.
You know what I mean? Where it's just like it's fine. And then I'll do. I think I'm gonna do. Chizu and Ryu. No, they were my top last time. I like them a lot.
I would say. If we're okay, because I agree with you so far, I would put Oscar and Andre.
I like Oscar and Andre. The thing is, like, I feel like I like the idea of Oscar and Andre. Really we don't get a lot of time with them actually together. Yeah. But I feel like throughout, they convinced me of the love thing from like the pining aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like the desire and then the consummation of them doing it together. I feel like is really satisfying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if that's how we're gonna treat most,
there are only a couple to
that's true. God,
get
we had
it
an
on.
Entire plot point about how. Freaking what's his name? Can't even kiss Sawako. What's his name?
Kazehaya.
A wuss boy.
Oh god. He was so annoying at the end.
I'm putting Kazehaya and Sawako at three and then Oscar.
Okay.
Oscar and Andre, and then I'll put Andre. Chizu and Ryo at the top. They can be at the top, whatever. None of these are that great.
No, not yet. I'll disagree with your lineup then. Yeah. Well, because there's no like, yes, everything is just love it. There's always some kind of thing with the ones we do like, or like it's not satisfying enough or something.
Yeah.
I don't, from what I recall, season two, Chihaya Furu isn't going to like bring that up anymore, like exponentially. So I'm like, oh God, maybe the next series we need to cover is like actually like a good romance.
Yeah.
I mean, Kimi ni Todoke was, and that was the primary thing it was about, but it wasn't as clear cut. Like,
well, they're also teenagers. It makes it hard. You know what I mean? Because you got to do the teenager first relationship things.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it tough.
Yeah.
The next ranking, side characters, chock full of side characters that are great. I like Alon. I like Rosalie. I like
Andre.
Do we count the love interests?
Remember her. Yeah.
Granny is great. Do we count the villains? Jean still lives pretty high in my heart.
Yeah. He's pretty
Dewberry. All right. How are we doing this? How do we do the side characters? I don't remember how to do this. What is my top side character out of all of them?
How about top three?
Oh, yeah. The triumvirate. Let's see. Ooh. Last time I probably had Hitoko, Moko, and Chizu maybe was my top three. I think, like I love Rosalie. It's going to be hard.
We got to start tracking.
And I love Alon also.
Yeah. We just don't get that much time with any of them that's meaningful. We just like they're enjoyable with the limited time we get.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get like entire things dedicated to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say number one is Rosalie. I'm going to say Rosalie is number one. And then I'll probably still do Hatoko. And then number three, I kind of want to put Alon at number three. That guy was so, I like that guy.
I feel like you just have to have one from each series. You gotta pick like your favorite from
Should we do
series,
like the
maybe?
Antagonist? Not every show has an antagonist, I guess. Dang.
We could do an antagonist. Well, oh my. Well, there's rival and stuff. Yeah. So.
Then I probably put Karumi in number three. I'm going to do a top five.
Okay. I guess top five, it doesn't have to be one from each series.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Series. Whatever. We'll streamline
this
later.
Very
we'll workshop this one. But I do need to. I like Rosalie and I like Alon and I like Jean.
I feel like you like Jean.
That's my top
most.
Three. Yeah, she just doesn't get to be in it at the end.
No.
I do like Jean a lot, though. But like Rosalie gets a whole arc. You know what I mean? Like the fact that she goes through the whole thing.
What about our pirate guy?
Our pirate guy was pretty great.
Accordion pirate.
I love pirate guy, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have a cool sword move.
No.
I don't know. What do you got for side characters? You could just rank them in the show.
Okay, just in Rosa the Rose of Versailles. Okay. I guess I will put Rosalie number one, Alon number two, Granny number three.
Nice.
Do we just do top
Oscar's
three?
Oscar's horse.
Or we do top five.
Oh, you want to do top five? Yeah.
Oscar's
yeah,
horse. Yes. Don and Andre.
Well, you put Andre in there. You put Andre pretty low in there.
I don't know. He's just generic nice guy, but also kind of assaults her for
he
a
does
second.
He kind of assault her
Let's
for a second.
Let's just not forget That's that.
True. But he's also could be the Black Knight and doing all those backflips and shit.
He was really into that
for a little bit?
The Black Knight. Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
Opening songs. Okay.
But I mean, I think overall, I think just Kimi Todoki has a very good side character.
Yeah.
Just Ayane, Chizu, and Ryu.
They dedicate a lot of time to the side characters.
And Joe.
No.
Joe from
I don't think
Kimi
so.
Chizu.
We can forget about that guy. Opening
okay.
songs.
Okay. Best opening. Yeah.
I don't remember very many
bottom
of them.
Okay. I'll give my lineup first then.
I'm gonna have to listen to this.
Number five, Angelic Layer. Just like fine. Right. We agreed. Music, meh, but the visuals are fun because it's like cool fighting stuff. And then I will put Gitby as number four. I will put Chihaya Furu is number three. Kimini Todoke is two. And Rose of Versailles is number one. Rose of Versailles is so good.
Is it just the song or is it the whole thing? Like the video and everything?
I'm saying combined.
All right, combined. I don't remember Skip Beats at all.
Skippy is just her running through the city with like side characters.
Maybe I'll put that one as last.
With a semi-catchy song.
I'll put that one as last. I'll put Kimi ni Todoke because I remember it having extremely boring visuals. Then I'll put Angelic Layer because it had exciting visuals and the song was whatever. And then probably Chihaya Furu because that one was pretty good. And then, Rose of Versailles. Solid.
Like, it's very simple, like, visually, but, like, music is so good and, like, is cool because it's just about Oscar in the opening.
I, like, downloaded that song.
And giant
it's so
text.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that song.
The, like, Bawa. No. The
opening riff.
Bawa. Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good, dude. I'm just like, hell yes. Oh, man, I'm really going to miss this show.
Yeah.
You added a new ranking. It looks like at the end after opening song, you added moms. We're doing a mom ranking. This is really funny.
Well, each one, I feel like, we don't really get to meet Kyoko's mom. I know about Kyoko's mom from reading the manga, but you don't get to meet her really, except for like the vagueness.
That being said, I'm ranking her last.
Generally sucking. Okay. I'm going to put, I just really hate Shoko.
Like, the thing is that Shoko's a bad mom, but at least they resolve at the end of the show. They like work it out. Kyoko's mom is just absentee
She's another
and
character.
Terrible. And all we know is that she like drives her to success emphatically. And that has like destroyed her whole life and she ran away. So that's why Kyoko's last for not Kyoko, but that's why Kyoko's mom's last for me.
Yeah, she's fourth for me.
Mine's the other way. So we've just reversed the last two. So then I have.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, I guess will be Oscar's mom. Fucking confusing entity within the series.
Unsure if she's alive or that she is.
Bad really because she let their father do that to her daughter. We thought she was dead. And then she just, didn't live at their house?
Oh my god, it was so funny. Dead.
And then, like, Oscar never went to her for, like, anything.
Yep. And then we just kind of forgot their she was there. She kind of dropped anything. Out of the story.
Yeah.
There was that part where her dad was going to murder her.
Maybe we saw her parents in frame once.
Like, what did the mom think about that? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's a third place position.
You know what? I guess number two because, I feel like I like.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Shihaya's mom sucks.
Shihaya's mom is so whatever.
Though, she kind of ignores her kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Chihaya's mom's going lower than Oscar's cares mom. About her Oscar's mom gets a promotion because Oscar's mom is supportive of Oscar. She's a little too like, I'll do whatever you want, Oscar. I don't really care. But like, that's fine. You know what? It's better than Chihaya's mom.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Chihaya's mom is number three. Oscar's mom is number...
Yeah,
no,
number two.
Right? Oscar's mom is
number
two.
And
number
one is...
Two. Good lord.
Bad moms.
Well, I guess we're... Okay. And yeah. Sawako is the best mom.
Sawako's mom is funny.
And kind of be like, I'll keep it a secret from your dad. And this, but there. Best moms.
Well, I think that's it for our rankings.
Random category. Yep.
Wow. I'm going to miss this show so much, man.
I know. Well, we were doing school uniforms, but there's no school uniform.
Oscar's uniform.
I guess we could
what
do school
Oscar's
uniform versus work uniform. I think her
the
first
one
was.
Yeah. The white one was pretty good. I like the blue.
The red one was the worst one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's the tricolor, huh? Yeah. Man. So what is our plan?
It's
so
over.
So we're going to watch the movie. So it's not over. It's not totally over. We are going to watch the movie.
Well,
And then we're going to watch Shihaya Furu season two. So next time, if the episode is good... If the movie is good and I'm gonna watch the movie and I'm gonna message Sarah and I'm gonna be like, yeah, there's enough to talk about, or I'm gonna be like, I got nothing to say about this movie. I'm sure we're gonna have things to say about it. I feel like there's just no way I could watch this and have no opinion on it. So I think we'll probably have a normal episode on the movie, which is on Netflix right now, so you can watch it.
Yep.
But if not, we'll be watching the first 3 episodes of Chihaya Furu season 2.
That's right. Get back in the zone.
We're going to see what kind of cursed relationship forms. We're going to see if my boy Taichi
who's going to win
get anything good ever happens to him again.
Is that our most... I feel so bad.
I wonder if Taichi will ever smile or feel happiness. His smile will never return.
Andre's, but because Andre is dead.
Taichi and Andre would get along together so well. They would go out and drink together. Fursen can't come because he sucks, but Taichi can come.
Fursen and Kent can hang out.
Yeah. Oh my god, they and should. Show. Holy shit. Oh, see, this is what we gotta do this.
Fursen and show, bestie. I know. Whatever. Okay, we gotta start are we gonna make a little... We should make a little story about our chapters in our little fake universe of our show.
Yeah, what's everybody doing at the clubhouse? That kind of thing.
Like short stories.
Yeah,
yeah.
We gotta be doing that.
Yeah, like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or the...
Oh, the House
Mickey
of
Mouse.
Mouse.
What was that? Were they like...
Yeah.
Yeah, House of Mouse. House of Shoujo.
We really gotta get on that. Maybe draw a little collage. Like one of those things, whose table would you sit at? You ever see those memes?
Oh yeah,
we should draw one of those with everybody. God, the Kent Fursen one. Jesus Christ, I didn't even think about that.
what other sucky? I don't know. Ojiro.
Yeah, Ojiro. Oh my God, the Kent Fursen Ojiro clan.
And our sadistic guy Sato from Chihaya Furu.
He's still gonna be a character.
Joe hates him.
About him again.
He's about to graduate, isn't he? So probably not. I don't know. Right there. Ugh. Our last episode for Chihaya Furu is called Losers for a Year. So,
yeah,
it's going to be starting off.
Well, we got introduced to the
rallying
master or whatever. And he's some weirdo everybody hates.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a weird show.
Oh, our girl. What's the Shinobu. Queen's name again? I'm gonna have to refresh on everyone's name. Shinobu.
My favorite little weirdo.
Like Shinobu. Yeah. We need like clicks, the shoujo clicks or something.
We'll figure it out.
Divvy up.
But in the meantime, rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. We really appreciate reviews. Leave a comment. Tell your friends about it. We put in a lot of work. We've done a lot of episodes, and we have a fun time doing this. We would like to keep doing this forever, but it would be great if more people listen to the show. So tell people about the show. And tell them to watch The Rose of Versailles. Mm-hmm, you're watching the last episode, so I'm sure you, audience member, enjoyed it. But you should tell your friends that they're missing out on the best show we've watched thus far. Because it is. Don't be put off by how it's old.
That's right. It was not a factor at all in the viewing experience.
You know what we might do as a bonus? I forgot. We might watch the Lady Oscar live action movie. Remember when we watched the trailer for that?
Ridiculous. We do need to watch that.
Oh my God.
Okay. 100%.
That'll be a bonus for sure.
Okay. Maybe. Yes. For sure. Okay. Yeah. That'll be fun. So you guys should check all that out too.
we'll let you know when we're doing that.
If you want a little cringe in your life.
Yo, it looked so good. The trailer was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a lot, but it was a good ride.
Good show.
Until the horse died.
And then we got just kind of an exposition of things that happened in history, and it was all a bummer. That was kind of a weird note to end on.
Okay. I have my life lesson for everyone.
All right. What
today.
Did we learn?
When you're buying something, read the cover to make sure you don't actually buy a laser disc instead of a vinyl record.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the big takeaway from The Rose of Versailles. Don't buy a laser disc on accident.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's give us the Rose of Versailles one.
Sometimes your feelings for people can be eclipsed by the society that you live in, to where you don't think it's possible for you to love somebody because of the implications it might have, or you may not feel like you can live your life the way you want because of the social implications. And I think you should examine that closer and see if maybe there's a way you could carve a life out for yourself regardless of it. And if there isn't, have you ever thought about storming the local armory and maybe cutting off the commander's head there and going to the Hotel de Ville and ordering the government to get rid of the social structure? Because that might also work. Now, don't pay too much attention to what happens after that, okay? You don't got to do the rest of that stuff. You don't have to worry about the Department of Public Safety. We don't have to do the directory. We don't have to elevate Napoleon to first consul. It's fine. You don't have to do any of that stuff. But, you know, if you got enough people, maybe you could change the social order yourself.
Oh my God, that's right.
Don't let the all ultra right, rich the last... dictate your life to you.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I wonder if any of our other animes will have us drawing comparisons like this one has. We shall
Sometimes
see.
There's a healthy fear of the mob, you know? Sometimes they just gotta be reminded that things can go bad for them, even though it doesn't seem like it could.
Mm-hmm. Making a stand here and
also teach your little sister to sword fight and then have her do it on
and
screen
and then give her an opportunity to freaking do it. So she wasted, and then the one chance she did have where they got attacked in the carriage, she didn't have her sword. Oh my God, zero payoff for Rosalie training. The biggest tragedy.
More than anything else.
Our protagonist dying.
And the Rose of Versailles is that Rosalie never got to stab anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe next time. Maybe in the movie remakes.
Anyways.
There's always hope.
We can only hope.
And I swear to God, if I get to a panel in the manga where she stabs a guy, I'm going to be so happy.
I hope so. Yeah, we'll have a time where we learn all that later.
We'll probably cover that whenever I read it.
Yeah. But thank you everyone for joining us in our coverage of The Rose of Versailles. And we hope you are looking forward to our coverage of Chihaya Furu Season 2 and all of the other series to come. So thanks for sticking along, and we're excited to keep the ball rolling.
That's right.
And we'll catch you guys
later.
That's
right, on the barricades, we're out. Thank you.